Good morning. I'd like to call the Rules, Ethics, and Engrossment Committee meeting to order. It is February 25th, 2020. The time is 8:38 a.m. And the first item is roll call.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Present.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Present.
Congresswoman Pratt?
That's you. Okay, we have a quorum. Next item is prayer. Congresswoman Lemon, would you please pray for us this morning, please?
Thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you today for bringing us together today. Please help us and guide us in our decision making. We make the best possible decision for our people. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Next is approval of the minutes. Please review the minutes for two sets of minutes for November 19th at 4:34 p.m. and 5:47 p.m. Congresswoman Stabler?
On the back page, ONC 2006, it quotes $99,950 for domestic violence for the purchase of a building, and that was, there was $5,000 more. It was $104,950.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Also, on the last page, it references ONCA 2006, but in the motion it says that it should read 2006 also, I believe.
Okay, thank you.
Motion to approve the minutes as amended from November 19th, 2019.
Second.
At 4:34.
At the ones at 4:34, I'm sorry, the 4:34 p.m.
Okay, motion's made and seconded to approve the minutes for November 19th, 2019 at 4:34 p.m. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no, and one abstention from myself. I was in Washington, D.C. for that meeting. Next is the minutes for 5:47 p.m. on the same date.
Motion to approve the minutes of November 19th at 5:47 p.m.
Second.
Motion is made and second to approve the minutes for November 19th, 2019 at 5:47 p.m. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
With one abstention from myself. For the same reason. No, it was just that other constitution. I think you have everything else, right?
That's okay.
All right, next on the agenda is discussion of possible rules amendments. I know I've discussed with Congresswoman Lemon regarding a possible rule amendment. So do you have anything prepared at this time, or?
I don't have anything prepared at this time. Thank you, Madam Chair. But I've mentioned it before, and it's something I definitely want to look at when we get into session. And one of the topics is to increase the vetting process or improve or change the vetting process of our appointees to the boards that we have. And one of the things that I would like to know how the committee would like to move forward and why I wanted to bring it up today is because we could either do a demonstration here or we could just personally each go over the demonstration that I'd like for you to see. It is an electronic app that the state of Oklahoma has now for criminal background checks. Where before, it would take up to 10 days. And I know that you're familiar with this, Congresswoman Stabler, from being at the clinic. And how long it would take sometimes to get those, you know, background checks. And this particular, this streamlines it, and it's available within sometimes 6 minutes of the time that you put it into the system. But I know there's probably some hiccups somewhere. because it sounds too good to be true. And so I wanted to know how you guys felt about researching it or bringing it here for a demonstration, you know, on the big screen. And basically, it's just the background check that every employee gets, that all of us receive whenever we decided to run for office. And it states, and it checks it at the state level. And that's something that I'd just really like to explore. Just wanted to see what you guys thought about it.
Okay, thank you. Congresswoman Stabler?
Sure, I'll make some off the top of my head comments on that. And I have had some experience with that. And years ago, worked with a service that we did get almost immediate turnaround, but it was on a national level. So I know there's lots of services out there. So I think we do need to find out from our HR department what they're running for background checks right now and how their processes work. So I think that's one thing for us to look at. It's all, because it's also been frustrating at different levels, not just at the clinic, but at other places too. And for me, this is years and years ago, it was a two-step process. I did my fax, and within 30 minutes I got a response back, and then I'd have to go down to the courthouse to run a secondary report on it. So I think that we just, it's not a bad idea to review it and see what comes out of that.
Okay, thank you. So you would be looking at like possibly under Rule 8, the confirmation of appointees?
Yes, ma'am.
That's where that would...
We're correct.
Discuss being inserted. Okay. Anything else? Ooh, my battery's low. Okay. We can continue to work on that. Next is discussion of possible rules and ethics violations. And I know one of the topics of discussion is there have been several members of Congress having the discussion regarding a confusion and regarding a what is it even called, Congress on your corner, congressional Congress on your corner with two members of Congress event, or I'm not really clear on what it was, and I know that several members of Congress have been discussing, and not sure if all of Congress was invited, or if this was a campaign event, if it was a congressional event. I know that most Congress members didn't know about it. It's been asked whether or not one or two members of Congress can call an event a congressional event, such as Congress on Your Corner, because as a Congress, we are 12 members of Congress, as opposed to two members. And so the question is, can they call it Congress on Your Corner, or do they have to say two members of Congress on Your Corner, et cetera? So I would just open that for discussion, because again, we have once, I'm trying to find it, but I know there's been, because I can't even remember if it's an unspoken rule or an actual rule where we discuss not being able to travel to certain public forums, the regional gatherings, if it's within an election season. So we're not really sure. I know we have 7.18 is public hearings, but I don't guess that was considered a public hearing. I believe information was sent to me that the agenda stated legislative update, legislative successes, and pending legislation. And so members of Congress had the discussion that nothing was discussed with them in order to gather all of that information. The question was asked, was staff involved? How much was Congress involved? What was the other question? So overall, it's how is this going to work, and especially with it being an election season. Also, a lot of times there's we end up in a split. So because it hadn't gone through the Congressional Affairs Committee or any discussion with all of Congress, whether or not we agree on what legislative successes are, because, you know, if we're 6-6 sometimes to the other six, that might not be a success, because they didn't even agree with the legislation. So, or if they have pending legislation, or if they plan on filing some legislation to have an open forum for discussion of Congress, then they would have liked to be able to participate in an event, or they just simply disagree with the fact that that event is being held on supposedly the behalf of Congress. So, are there any other? Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Chairwoman Pratt. I just would like to express, you know, my thoughts concerning that the particular topic. So whenever you do, and what you mentioned, Chairwoman Pratt, is that when you use the word Congress, some people, it may be misinformation given to our constituents and anyone for that matter, whenever you use the term Congress, because immediately I automatically, personally think the body of Congress. And so I can see where that can be confusing and be some misinformation for our constituency and a misrepresentation of this body. And whenever we're looking at something and we think about giving a title to something or trying to get people's attention out in the public that the legislative branch is going to have some type of a function, I believe it is extremely important that we are crystal clear in our presentation and representation of what the public will expect when they arrive at the particular meeting. I myself received phone calls and concerning and trying to understand, is this something that the legislative branch is putting on to talk to the public about what's going on in the legislative branch? And so I had to tell the constituent that no, that this is a private event, I believe, and that it is being hosted by two members of Congress, which is 1/6 of our body. So there was some complaints, and I continued to visit with the constituents that did call and explain to them that maybe it was just an oversight in naming the title, but this is the second function, if I'm not mistaken. There was one in Pawhuska, and then there's now been one in Gray Horse. And I think to alleviate some of the confusion that the constituents had, it helped that I was able to say this is considered a town hall meeting. And I really feel that for in the future, what we should definitely be looking at, because of all the misinformation that gets put out by social media, by the news outlets, and by, frankly, some people, and that we are really clear, and one option or resolution to it would be just to call it a town hall meeting. I agree that the legislative successes, that's an opinion that a person may or may not have. And again, today in our world, we have a lot of misinformation and other people representing the entire body when they're really only one person. And so I think we have to be very careful when we put together public events and how we represent ourselves and the words that we even choose to use. When we make comments of this body wants this or this body wants that, meaning this body of Congress, when one person stands up and says that, and a constituent hears it, they may believe that the entirety of the Congress agreed with what that particular congressperson just said, and they may not go do the research to find out which person in Congress did or did not agree with this particular congressperson and their piece of legislation. So I feel like I'm going rambling here, but ultimately, I just feel that we just need to be extremely succinct and pay attention to what type of information that we are putting out there and what type of, how it's perceived. Thank you.
Thank you. Congresswoman Stabler?
Just a couple of short comments, and I go along with what Congresswoman Lemon was saying. You know, I'm all about town halls. I'm all about public gatherings, and as individuals, we have that right to set those types of meetings up. And also, and just to make sure that everybody understands that as long as you have not got a majority of Congress together, you don't have a quorum. So you can meet as small groups, however you want to do it. But I do think it's all in the interpretation and how the marketing or how the notices are put out. So maybe it's just a little clarification there for everyone to understand. That's it.
Right. Thank you. Because that's our, so we're going to need to work on continued discussion of where the rules possibly fall silent on that matter. What I can find so far is 7.18 public hearings, a public meeting of a legislative committee, which there wasn't a committee involved. We have had public hearings in the past, and there was a lot of information, preparation, et cetera. And on a particular subject to which any citizen may speak and offer his or her views on the subject. At least one half of the members of a committee with the principal author speaking about bills in a public hearing, and then over regarding the duties and rights of presiding officers regarding the speaker's role. The speaker shall represent the Congress and conduct business at intertribal and intragovernmental functions as and shall inform the Congressional Affairs Committee in writing. And the speaker shall serve as the public relations lead between the executive and legislative branches. It kind of touches on some of those things that might be discussed in such a meeting. Just there was a lot of confusion with a lot of Congress members. I know there was a group text among some members that were invited that day, earlier that day of. I personally did not receive an invitation at all. So it was just a lot of confusion on whether this was a congressional event or not. So we will need to continue to discuss that and work on some rule regarding where they currently fall silent. So, okay. Next is also regarding possible rules an ethics violation regarding a member of Congress. Where's my, you should have received copies. There has, I did not print anything regarding the Osage News article. I know it's been discussed, but we do have an email from the Attorney General, Clint Patterson. And it's regarding, who is here today? I'm sorry, I will also state who is here with us today. The three members of the committee are attorney Mr. Trey Gill, our legal counsel, Benny Palaka, hi Benny, Congressman Maker, Cody Hammer, good morning Cody, and good morning Attorney General Clinton. How are you? And Congresswoman Goodfox and Speaker Tillman is here. That's all I see. So just for the record, I would like those noted for attendance. And so we have an email that has come from the Attorney General who was informed that there's an issue which disqualifies a member of Congress having accepted an appointment to the Yavapai Apache Tribal Judiciary as an appellate judge. And I've included the pieces of our Constitution for disqualification. Also regarding, I did not print, but you have received it in email, the Apache Constitution at Article 6, Section 6 declares appellate judges as officers of the Yavapai Nation, Apache Nation. So that is an officer, and I have confirmed with the court clerk at the Yavapai Apache Nation. That it is an appointed position. And, sorry, I'm looking for my notes here. That, as you, some have read in the news article, that she took an oath on August 6, 2019. There is a contract that's been executed. However, I did ask to receive a copy of the contract. And Ms. Fernando, who is the court clerk, stated that she could not provide that, but you know, we can certainly ask Congresswoman Edwards for a copy. As of yesterday afternoon, about 2:30 p.m., the court clerk had not received any notification of resignation from that position. However, I'm awaiting confirmation, because she did go on to state that her office is not necessarily who might be notified of a resignation, and that might lie within the Attorney General's office or the HR department. So she provided the Attorney General's assistant name and number, and I have two messages in to her for a confirmation of whether or not Congresswoman Edwards has resigned that position at this time. So the question, does anyone have any comments or questions at this time? Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you. So with that being, with everything that's been said and everything that's been in the news, and then the some of the correspondence that we've received from the Attorney General for disqualification and grounds for removal, which is a public document now, there's some other things on top of this particular that go along with it that I have questions about.
Okay, can I catch it?
You absolutely
real
can.
Quick? Just because I believe that I touched on the Apache Constitution. However, I did not state, so that we can get into your questions, that in our Constitution, the Osage Nation Constitution, page 5, section 5, Article 6, Section 5, disqualifications. No member of the Osage Nation Congress shall hold any other tribal office or position of profit under the Osage Nation during the term for which the member is elected and appointed. And no member of the Osage Nation Congress shall hold any other tribal office under another Indian nation during his or her term of office. The Osage Nation Congress may prescribe further disqualifications. However, those are the two qualifications that are held within our Constitution regarding a member of Congress, and that is what we have here. So I just don't think that I touched on our Constitution, so I wanted to make sure to do that before we move forward. You may continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So a couple of the questions that I, and other questions I have is, I have a lot of questions, but these are the ones that are just kind of right here at the forefront. I'm concerned because if in fact, which in the email that we received from the Attorney General and the disqualification of Congresswoman Edwards concede that it's grounds for disqualification, if she took her oath of office in August of 2019, we went directly into CISO session September 2019, and what does that do for the legislation that she sponsored if she would be considered disqualified from the time that she took her oath? I mean, these are just things that I've just thought about, you know? And if she received compensation, which our Constitution doesn't, you know, it basically says hold an office, and it doesn't reference compensation. So those are just a couple of the questions that I have. And if she was disqualified since then, you know, and she's been receiving, and it's found that she is, you know, that's something, another piece of that I've been thinking about is like the monies that have been paid to her through Osage Nation, if she is deemed disqualified, I'm not saying it has happened, Then where do, you know, that's something I'd like to explore to find out if it's, if she needs to return those funds to Osage Nation. And then also the legislation that, and then her votes that happened during the session in September and October. So I would really like to see a copy of her contract, and hopefully that she will be forthright in giving us a copy of that. But those are just a couple of things that I just had that I wanted to get out there for, you know, to see what you all, you know, how you all thought about that, or if you'd had that same type of, you know, line of thinking. And then, of course, I can follow up later. Thank you.
Okay. Congresswoman Stabler, I'm going to call on you next, but I wanted to state the conversation that I did have with the court clerk. I did follow up so that I would have it in writing. I CC'd, I can't remember, I think I did CC you on the request so that when the response comes from her in writing, has it come back?
No, it would come to you.
So when that comes back, then you will just kind of go over what was stated. But one thing I didn't mention that I did discuss with her is I did ask if Congresswoman Edwards has been compensated for that position, and she stated no. However, there could be something in the contract, and because I can't receive a copy of that, then we don't know the details of that. So I just wanted to state that that's what's been said regarding compensation so far. Congresswoman Stabler?
Well, I just kind of wanted to take a moment and maybe explain or let you explain what our duty is here on this, that this is not a decision made at this table.
Right.
But what our duties are.
Yes, that is one thing that's been discussed. Let's see, let me find the rule. But this committee would not make... It's not the decision of this committee. However, it is the duty of this committee to provide a recommendation, because any particular action would have to come from the entire body of the Congress. So we would be making a recommendation regarding an ethics violation.
Disqualification.
Disqualification under the...
statement in the Constitution. So
continue.
So as a follow-up, right now what we're doing is gathering the information so that we can make a recommendation to Congress as to whether to move forward and how to move forward. I know we have rules of how that procedure operates, but there are several wheels that have to turn at the same time, I guess is what I'm getting at for us.
Yeah, I had this pulled up. Hang on one second. We also have our legal counsel here, if we would like to turn to Mr. Gill, who's probably much more savvy in this. But I did have the information. Okay, page 38. And then it touches on... removal or disqualification. Except this is a different copy of the rules, so I'm having a hard time finding it. It's right here. Would you like for to ask Mr. Gill like what the next move would be with the options? Or?
If he has something prepared, I'd like to hear from him.
Okay. So. Go ahead. Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you. Rule page 38, rule 7.4. To follow up on Congresswoman Stabler and what she said, and both you, Chairwoman Pratt, the duties and responsibilities of the committee include the following: initiate research and propose amendments and new additions to the rules of the Osage Nation Congress. Ensure, but basically the one that, well, I got off track here.
Hang on. All right, we'll yield to Mr. I know the Constitution mentions. Mr. Gill, could we call upon you, please, regarding where this committee, I guess, I'm not just finding it clearly what our next duty would be.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
The Constitution, but thank you. Go ahead.
One of the duties of the committee is to ensure legislative compliance with Article 10 of the Osage Nation and the ethics rules of the Osage Nation Congress and laws of the nation. Obviously, the biggest laws of the nation are the Constitution. Now, it's a little ambiguous as to what ensure legislative compliance means. I believe you are correct that this committee is simply to investigate and make a recommendation to the Congress as a whole. And that recommendation can be whatever you decide that it will be. As far as, I mean, removal was mentioned, that's within the rules. I don't want to speak for the Attorney General. He has indicated through his statement to the Osage News that at this point he believes there was a violation of the Constitution and that it would be up to this body to decide what to do. If this body decided to proceed to removal, like I said, that's within the rules. If it is something less than that, like a censure, that would also be up to the body.
Okay, thank you. I'm still thumbing through this. I know I saw it. Any other comments?
No, I What were your plans, Chairman, to go to make a recommendation today, or to consider the responses you receive?
I'm sorry. I am looking for the section that I wanted to discuss specifically regarding a time frame, et cetera.
The removal time frame?
Yes.
That process, it's under page 60.
Okay. I had a different set of rules marked up. So to review this information, in one conversation that we did have, legal counsel was regarding a recommendation and all the moving parts that would come after that, and there being a, what is it, a committee of inquiry, is that called, a committee of inquiry time frame. However, that can, I guess, considering the information that we have received thus far, that there is the, could possibly be the option to waive the rules regarding that and move forward with the information that we have to the Congress and whether or not they wanted to vote on a removal.
Well, there's some steps that have to go before that.
Yeah, and like I said, regarding the committee of inquiry, and but that's what I'm saying is that because of the information that we have, that would be the time frame and the actions that we would take when we don't have this kind of information that we do have, that we're trying to research. However, we have the information before us. We have the statement from Congresswoman Edwards to several members of Congress that she would be resigning her position there, and her conversation with the Attorney General stating that, how does he word it? That, full disclosure, I did speak with Congresswoman Edwards and she conceded this grounds for disqualification from the Osage Congress. And that he gathered, so he was led to believe that she was going to be resigning from that position, as she also stated to some members of Congress after a committee meeting last week. But we, I would say that's the only thing that we don't quite have confirmation on yet, whether or not she's resigned. But then among members of Congress and our constitutional duty, the fact remains that she was in violation. So that still stands, whether you resign or not. Congresswoman Lemon.
I would just like to add that to what you said, Chairwoman Pratt, and the fact that we have a document, of course, stating that she's disqualified, and my understanding was that she was resigning. I haven't spoke directly with Congresswoman Edwards, so my understanding, though, from all of the news reports, and then, of course, an email received from Clint Patterson, is that she was resigning or has resigned from the Yavapai Apache Tribal Judiciary Courts. And that's all well and good if that's what she feels like she needs to do, because she is considered disqualified, but she still committed the act. And so there's still a violation, regardless if she has or has not resigned, which we do not have absolute confirmation that she has resigned, and what date she actually did resign, if she did. So I think it's important to note that, regardless if she resigns the post in Arizona, she still committed a violation. And it's no different than if I was to steal a car and then all of a sudden have a conscience about it, or be like, uh-oh, I'm going to get caught, and I take it back. I still committed the crime. And I think it's very important that, that's noted. Thank you. Thank you.
Congresswoman Stabler.
So I know that we have a meeting scheduled in a couple of days. I guess I'm asking the committee if we want to go into a motion to prepare a letter of advisement to Congress to work on that and bring that to the next committee meeting. And so that's because we don't have to, like we're saying, I don't think we have to go through a committee of inquiry. As long as we complete our investigation, we can make a recommendation and move on past that.
Excuse me, Mr. Gill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, you can make a recommendation at any time. I will tell you that I have had a conversation with Congresswoman Edwards, and she definitely will question whether holding office has been defined within the Osage Nation, and whether there's any law or decision. My response to her was simply that the chief has put the question to the Attorney General, so we will have that answer at some point here in the near future. I might advise the committee you may want to hold off on a recommendation until you get that opinion from the Attorney General, but that's up to you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gill. Well, we have the, you So we do have a meeting on Thursday. The Attorney General is here with us today. I hate to put him on the spot, but I'm going to. And so, Mr. Attorney General Patterson, I guess the question would be, how long, what's the turnaround in addressing the questions that have been submitted by the Principal Chief?
On the Principal Chief's questions? Yeah, I was going to wait to see what you guys were going to do before I dove into there, because anything that I put in there would require action on my part. So if you guys aren't going to act, then I would have to do that. Because any affirmative answer would be, you know, a violation of the Code of Ethics. So if you guys weren't going to do anything, then I was going to step up and do what I needed to do. But as far as a question from Congresswoman Edwards about who, what's an officer, that's going to be pretty easy, because their constitution says that is an officer.
Yes.
And clearly she's an officer of the Osage Nation by constitution definition, so I don't know what that question would look like. I would have to wait and see it, but to me it's pretty clear cut on both sides.
I agree. Congresswoman Lemon?
No, I don't have anything.
Okay. Okay.
I'd like to make a motion to recess.
For?
10 minutes.
Motion's made to recess. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's made a second. All those in favor say yes?
Yes.
Yes.
We're in recess for 10 minutes. It's 9:20. Yes, ma'am.